So before I invite Mats up, I was looking at this t-shirt. It's really cool, isn't it? Who would like this? So next point, the t-shirts will be available, and I'm told there is going to be a discounted rate, £8, I think. It's going to be £8, and you can have them. Is that rate working from tonight? So I can buy this for £8 tonight? Next month? Great. I'll put some deposit. Let's call Matt up so we can pray for him. Hello. I haven't seen him for over 2 years. The last time I saw him, he still had a beard, but his hair was shorter. He is really sort of God's vessel tonight. He is representing someone really great. So I pray that you will listen to him. He's carrying a message that's like explosive, a good explosive message that will lead to lives to being transformed. So listen to him, because I believe God has put something in him for you and for myself. So Lord, I thank you for Martin. Thank you that he's been faithfully serving you in Norfolk and the years that he was in Peterborough, and he's back to be used of you to share your message with us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will anoint him. May his words speak to each of us. And above that, Lord, we pray that you will help us to respond as you want us to. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to pay all of our attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Newton. We're just going to feel like we're doing the whole mic thing all over again.
I'll take this one. Hey, we've got a video, and I'll get started. And that was the desired effect. I think it's on the next slide. It'll get started. So if you want to know what I spent my Monday afternoon doing, I was sat in the office just Googling videos of inseparable animals. It was a choice of that, or a dog and a pig who are best friends, or an emu and a donkey who live on a farm together. It was That's great. So, I am inseparable is our theme there. So, I'm just going to read to you our passage for tonight. I'll pray again, and then we will press on. So, if you've got Bibles on you, we're reading from Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. And it goes like this. What then shall we say? Oh, that's very small print. My bad. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen a video of a duck being so attached to a dog before. It was certainly a first for me, and that's as far as the references go for the rest of the sermon. That was just for funsies. So this passage, I think, is probably one of the most incredible bits of scripture in the entire Bible. There is so much good truth here to unpack. There is truth that is so deep and so foundational that I believe that we should build our lives upon it. That's a big claim. It's a big thing to say that something is so important that we should build our lives upon it. And I don't say that to sound dramatic. I don't say that kind of hoping that that means you might listen a little bit more. I say it because it's true. And if we can really get to grips with what God is teaching us here, then we will never have to feel any insecurity about our relationship with God ever again. We are inseparable. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in life for me, it can feel like God is far off, or it can feel like I'm not good enough, or sometimes I can be going through a situation and just think, God, I can't see you in this. Where are you in this? I'm not sure I'm going to make it through this. And if you've ever felt that, or maybe that's how you're feeling right now, then God has got some stuff that he wants to say to you. And tonight, as we talk about this, as we talk about how we are inseparable from God, we're going to kind of split that into three sections. And I believe that at least one of these three sections is going to hit the mark for every one of us tonight. So those three things that we're going to look at are: no trial shall separate me, no sin shall separate me, and no spiritual lack shall separate me. And as we go through this tonight, we're going to see just how inseparable we are from God and from his amazing love. My hope is that by the end of tonight, we're all going to feel a bit more rooted in him. We're going to feel more grounded in his faithfulness. And that actually, we're just going to be able to go away knowing there really is nothing. When it says there is nothing that can separate me, there really is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. So we're going to press on. We're going to go through that. At the end, we're going to have time to respond. We're going to pray together. And my hope is really that none of us are going to go away unchanged tonight. All of us are going to encounter Jesus. And all of us are going to find out more about his amazing love for us. So we're going to get started on "No trial shall separate me." Verses 35 to 37 read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Now, sometimes in life, things go wrong. Bad things happen. The author here, he lists trials, suffering, hardships. For us today, that might look a little different. That might look like your parents split up, or a friend dies, or you get robbed. Your family don't have enough money to pay for basics like food or clothes. You get beaten up at school. Your family get seriously ill. You fall out of your best friend. Things go wrong. And this isn't just stuff that happens, I'm sure some of you will know, this isn't just stuff that happens to adults. These aren't adult problems. These happen to us. They affect us. And stuff like this happens in our lives. And when we go through these things, we can feel like God is far off, like he doesn't care. And my experience of seeing friends go through this is that generally it gets kind of one of two responses. Either something goes wrong and people run to God. They go, oh, God, I need you. Or they run away from God. And they say, God, I'm not interested. There's this thing going on. God, I don't want you anymore. Some of the strongest, most amazing Christians I know are people who have persevered through tremendous suffering. And some of the angriest atheists that I know are people who have persevered through tremendous suffering as well. So same suffering, very different outcome. And you know that Jesus never promises us that we won't suffer. Nowhere, anywhere in the Gospels, does Jesus say that he'll make life easy. And if we don't get that, we can get disappointed with God. Something goes wrong, and we get disappointed because we think that stuff shouldn't, like that shouldn't happen. But if we know that he hasn't promised that, then it's, yeah, it can be easy to feel like we've been separated from his love in that. But if we look at the scriptures, what we can see is that what he does tell us is that he will be with us. So over and over again, throughout the whole Bible, he says that he'll be with us. Joshua 1:9 says, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you." Matthew 28 says, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." And our passage today, "Shall tribulation or distress separate us from the love of Christ?" No. There's a promise here from God, if you choose to accept it, that whatever happens to you, God is never going to leave you. He does not promise that you won't suffer, but he promises that when you do, he'll be with you. This trial that you're going through right now is not going to be the end of you and Jesus. It cannot and it will not separate you from his love. And this is the experience of my life. In the darkest nights of my soul, at times of great loss, of complete heartbreak, I've been able to look back and know that God loves me, know that he was with me every step of the way. It's easier to say that now, looking back on it. At the time, it really difficult, and still difficult in some ways, but I'm able to look back and stuff and go, yeah, I know that the love of God never left me. There was a song I was hoping we'd sing, didn't get a chance to, it's fine. We're going to stick just a couple of the lyrics up on the screen for that. It's an amazing old hymn, and the lyrics are, or for the first verse and chorus are, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And quite a simple chorus. "It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." And this song was written by a man called Horatio Spafford. Hilarious surname, but Horatio Spafford. And I just want to read you a bit of his story. I find that worship songs just take on so much more power, so much more meaning when we know some of the story that was behind them. So the Spaffords were well known in 1860s Chicago, Chicago being the city in America. He was a prominent lawyer, and he was a senior partner in a large and thriving law firm. So, you know, really solid income, high status in his society. And the Spaffords were also close friends of an evangelist called D.L. Moody. Now, in 1871, Spafford invested in some property north of Chicago, but a great fire in Chicago reduced the entire city to ashes and destroyed most of his investment. That same year, scarlet fever, which is a disease, killed his four-year-old son. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided that his family should take a holiday somewhere in Europe. They'd been through a lot, a really painful time, decided that they should take a holiday. And because they knew that D.L. Moody was going to be in England doing some touring, they decided they're going to go to England. Spafford, Horatio was delayed because of business, so he sent his family on ahead. So he had four daughters and his wife, sent them on ahead, and was going to come join them. His daughters were called Annie, Maggie, Bessie Antonetta. On November the 22nd, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic, their ship was struck by an iron sailing vessel, and 226 people lost their lives, including all four of Spafford's daughters. Only his wife, Anna, survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram back to Horatio, beginning, "Saved alone." Spafford then sailed to England, going over the location of his daughter's deaths. And it's later recorded that as Spafford was approaching the location of his daughter's deaths, that he wrote this hymn. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Some of you have a choice to make tonight. In the middle of your trials, in the pain of your hardships, are you going to run to God, or are you going to run away from God? Your hardships will not and cannot make that decision for you. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate you from the love of Christ? No. You have a God who promises to go with you through every trial that you go through. "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No trial shall separate me." Point two, no sin shall separate me. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who is to condemn?" I wonder, what is your first response when you get something wrong? What's your first response when you get something wrong? You do something that you know is sinful, something that God has said is off limits. What happens next? Do you run to Jesus? Do you repent? Do you ask him to help clear things up? Or do you run away from Jesus, embarrassed, full of shame? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve faced a very similar dilemma. They used to walk with God in the garden. They enjoyed talking with him, being with him. But then they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they had been very clearly told not to do. And how did they respond? Did they come clean? Did they go to God and say, "God, we messed up. We did this thing. We're really sorry. Can you kind of help us clear this up?" What we see in the account is that they went and they hid. They hear God walking in the garden and they hide from him. In their shame and their guilt and their embarrassment, they hid from him. Does that reaction resonate with any of us right now? Does that sound familiar, or does it sound similar to any of your experiences? I'm gonna tell you some really kind of personal stuff about myself. I hope that's all right. But I'm really kind of hoping that you guys seeing what this looked like in my life will kind of help you get an idea of what this looks like in practice. So it's not uncommon for guys and girls to struggle with pornography and masturbation. I personally never struggled with those, but for years was hooked by sexting. If you don't know what sexting is, it's the kind of sending and receiving of explicit texts. All the way through sick form, all the way through university, and a little bit kind of early on in my days working for church, sexting was a huge problem in my life. I was sexting a lot. I was hooked by it. It gave me a rush. It felt good. But it came with a colossal sense of shame and embarrassment. So much shame and embarrassment. I always knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't God's design for intimacy. But every time I decided I'd stop, I'd get a message from somebody, or I would give in and I would send a message to somebody else, and I'd be right back in. And it felt like something that I was never going to break free from. It felt like something that very much had a hold on me and that I wasn't going to get out of. In that general period, I also romantically led on quite a few girls, especially around university. I was looking for physical intimacy, but was terrified of commitment. And sexting had kind of blurred my understanding of appropriate physical boundaries. And so I hurt a lot of women that God loved, and the guilt I felt from that was crushing, absolutely crushing. When I was still at school, my regular prayer time would be just before I went to sleep at night. So a long time, I've always tried to do regular daily prayer, and at that stage of my life, it was always before I went to bed. But I remember so many nights laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, complete silence, feeling like there is nothing that I can say to God right now. There's no way that I can talk to God right now. How can I talk to the King of Kings, the Holy One, after everything I've just done that day? I felt like there was no way I could come before God like that. I couldn't open my mouth to speak. I couldn't say anything. What can I say in that moment? I can't send an explicit text and then just get on with praying. I felt acutely aware that I was separated from God by my sin. And a lot of the time, my relationship with God was great. I was leading the Christian Union at King's. I loved Jesus with all my heart. I was bold in evangelism. I knew the Bible well. I worshipped boldly and genuinely. But there were still these moments in my bed at night where I felt unable to speak to God because of the sin that I was in the middle of in. There's a fantastic band called Reliant K, and they kind of sum up fantastically how I felt in the chorus of their song, I So Hate Consequences, when they sing, I so hate consequences, because running from you is what my best defense is. I hate these consequences because I know that I'll let you down, and I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to tell you something really important. If you take nothing else away from tonight apart from this, then I'll be happy. So, really important fact coming up. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Did you know that? The devil is a liar. No true words come out of his mouth. Every time we see Satan speak in the Bible, every single time his words are lies. And when he does speak, he only speaks to try to get in the way of our relationship with God and to tear us down. One of the other titles given to Satan in the Bible is accuser. He accuses people. So when you get something wrong and you hear that voice in your head that says, you're stupid, I knew you'd get that wrong again. God will never want anything to do with you now. That is not God speaking. That is Satan lying to you. He's accusing you. He's trying to hold you back from God. Don't listen to those lies. That's not truth. Satan's such a liar. Now, in the face of a lie, the best thing we can do is speak truth. And we have a book at our disposal which only contains truth. It's called the Bible. And we can answer every lie of the enemy by looking to this book for truth straight from the mouth of God. The Bible is truth straight from the mouth of God. And so here's some truth for you from the Bible. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Romans 3 says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Romans 8 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What the Bible teaches us really clearly is that our salvation is based entirely on faith alone. None of your good works, none of your good deeds in any way contribute to your salvation. Your salvation and your adoption as a child of God is based solely on God's gracious gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Some of you today, perhaps many of you, have been sold a lie by Satan that your sin somehow disqualifies you from the love of God. But what we see in the Bible is quite the opposite. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. What does this mean? What does this actually mean in practice? We're standing in a courtroom. God is the judge, and Satan is pointing his finger at us, saying, God, look at that terrible thing Matt did. And God is saying, Jesus has already paid the price. Matt's good. then Satan says, but what about the other horrendous thing that Matt did? And God says, well, Jesus has already paid the price. Matt's good. And then Satan says, God, do you see that sect that Matt sent? Do you see how much he hurt that woman when he led her on? And God says, I love Matt so much that I sent Jesus to earth. And once and for all, Jesus suffered Matt's punishment by dying for him on a cross. I count Matt as innocent. His sin shall not separate him from me and my love. He is my child, my son, and I do not condemn him. Nothing you can say about him will separate him from my love. He still has every right to come into my presence and be with me, and your lies will not change that. Some of you tonight need to substitute your name into that scenario. Some of you tonight need to substitute your name into that scenario. You know, that Reliant K song I mentioned earlier, it goes on, and the bridge is beautiful. It goes like this. When I got tired of running from you, I stopped right there to catch my breath. They're your words, they caught my ears. You said, I miss you, son, come home. And my sins, they watched me leave. And in my heart, I so believed the love you felt for me was mine, the love I'd wished for all this time. And when the doors were closed, I heard no, I told you so's. I said the words I knew you knew. Oh God, I needed you. God, all this time I needed you. I needed you. God is for you tonight, and he's inviting some of you to come back home. When we sin, we don't need to run from God. If anything, we run to him. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, nor creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No sin shall separate me. And finally, no spiritual lack shall separate me. I'm aware time is pressing on, so we'll do this one quickly, but there's a couple of things that I just think are really important for us to get from this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? When I say spiritual lack, this is what I mean. You know those moments when you just feel really dry? Spiritually, you feel dry. You feel like you have nothing to offer God. You feel like you're kind of burnt out. You have nothing to bring to him. Or you're struggling to connect. You're not really in that space. You know what I mean? Any nods? Somebody please nod. That wasn't reassuring. But yeah, you have these moments, you have these dry periods, and in these dry periods, it can be very easy to feel like God is distant and separate. Well, tonight, I've got some truth bombs for you. So, God is eternally faithful. His feelings about us don't go up and down the way that our feelings about him go. One minute we're like, yeah, God, you're fantastic. Next minute you're like, I don't really care. Next minute, God, you're incredible. Next minute, I don't really have time to talk to you today, God. We're up and down. We're like a yo-yo, just like that. But his love for us is eternally faithful, eternally consistent, and does not change. Whenever I feel disconnected or stagnant or like I have nothing to give, I remember that his gift to me, his goodness to me, his love for me, it's based upon his grace and not my goodness. God gave up his son for us all as an act of his grace. And so I think for some of you tonight, you just need the very short and very simple truth that God isn't bummed out about the fact that you're a bit like a yo-yo. He's still for you, and even when you descend into the darkest depths, you can't be separated from his love. Psalm 139 says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Even when you feel like you are far off from God, he is very close to you. And that's a comfort and reassurance that's got me for a number of dry seasons. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No spiritual lack shall separate me. I'm just going to invite the bands to come and join us back on the stage. Very quietly, where you are, I would like you to stand. This is good. When I say very quietly to my youth group, they're usually a complete mess. So this is good job. Good job. You can follow basic instructions. This is great. Where you are, it'd be great if you could get into groups of three with people you know. Again, quietly. I appreciate that one can't be done quite so quietly. If they're groups of two, that's okay. If they're groups of four, that's okay. But not any more than that. I know we like to take the allocated number and double it. But if you can get into twos to fours, that'd be great. I'm just going to ask the band to beautifully play atmospherically in the background. Thanks, guys. We're gonna pray together in these groups. We're gonna pray for each other. Leaders, I don't know if you might want to dot around or just get plugged in. I believe that everyone in this room today is affected by at least one of those three points. I'm sure that at least one of those three things will have struck a nerve with each of you. Everyone here has something to respond to. God has spoken, and now we have to respond. We don't want to leave this place the same as we came in. We've been spending time in God's presence, and that inevitably leaves us unchanged. But there's an opportunity here for us to have an encounter with the living God. So don't let it pass you by. And there are three things I believe that people may need to respond to tonight. So firstly, some of you are going through some really bad stuff. For some of you, to say you're having a hard time would be an understatement. Tonight in our groups, we're going to pray for you to know God's closeness in your situation and to know that he never leaves you. Secondly, some of you are stuck in cycles of sin and you feel like they exclude you from coming before God. You're carrying a guilt and a shame that means you struggle to talk to him or feel like you're not worthy to come before him. And tonight we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would break you free from your cycles of sin and that you would know completely in your heart and mind the truth that Jesus does not condemn you and has already paid in full the full price for you. And thirdly, some of you in this place, you're in a place where you feel like you're spiritually lacking. Perhaps for some of you, actually, you might be in this place of depression. You feel like you're living in this really, really dark place. And tonight we're going to pray for you that you would know that even in the depths, God goes with you. And that he would make the darkness around you into light. And so in your groups as the band pray, I'd just like you all to pray for each other. You can pray all at once or one person at a time, however you prefer. But I'd really like you to be bold. You don't have to go into all of the details, but perhaps just in your group, just tell your group which of those three points is it that really strikes a chord for you tonight? Which is it that you need God to move in? And then as a group, we're going to lift each other up to God in prayer. Our God is alive and active, and I'm completely expecting that as we pray right now, people's lives are going to be changed. So let's go. Let's pray for one another, and let's expect that God is going to do something real.